Sarah, tears in your prayers are normal. Shows your heart. I just have to say, I don't know exactly where this is all going this morning because I got a lot going through my head. But as I sat there in class, as we are reading this first lesson, it says, do you see how the words and actions of Jesus came alive in his ministry? And as people sat in class talking about that, I was still thumbing through the lesson, coming across many thoughts and things that are in the sermon today. The difference between Jesus and those prophets before him, they came into the king and they would say, O king, the Lord says. And they would try to talk to the king about getting the country back on track, getting the people back going toward God. Of course, it's hard to do when you're talking to an evil king because most of the kings in Israel and Judah, a lot of them are evil. But here, years later, the promised Messiah shows up, Jesus. Notice, he doesn't come into Israel and go to the king. There is no king. They've been taken in captivity. They've come back into the land. There's no king anymore. Jesus is the king. He's the king coming in and trying to... He inadvertently slaps a few high priests and Pharisees and Sadducees upside the head. But he goes to the people mainly and talks to them. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees start belittling what he's saying and telling him how wrong he is, he sets them straight. But he goes right to the people. And today, he's still going right to the people. Right through this word that we have here into our hearts. Let's bow. Father, I have made so many mistakes. And haven't always been where I should be. And for that, I'm sorry. For the lives I've affected, for the people I've wronged, and for the regrets I have. I just pray that you speak to me today. Help me to help preach your words, not mine. I pray this in Jesus' name. When you preach a sermon, prepare a sermon, a lot of times you do it and you've already kind of pushed God out of the picture. You've just decided that this is what I want to talk about today. And hopefully that's not the case all the time, but hopefully you're letting God speak, not just what's on the paper in front of you. And that he worked in your heart during the sermon. But one of my favorite sermons ever was talking about God uses nobodies. And talked a lot in that sermon about Fanny Mae Crosby, a blind little girl that was made blind when she was just a little girl and blind all of her life. But yet God used her to write so many hymns, Blessed Assurance, and so many other songs are in this book that Fanny Crosby wrote. A woman like Ann Werner, who wrote a simple poem, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. A poem that was just supposed to be a poem for a sister because she was losing one of her children. And yet that poem went around the world. We sing it in Sunday school, they sing it in prison. A simple little poem, and God used a nobody to write it. The other day I saw a quote from Mark Twain. There are 2 days in the world, 2 days in your life that are the most important. The day you were born and the day you figure out why. Those are the most two important days in your life. I'm not going to beat you over the head with all the stuff about Abraham, because Dan's preached extensively on it recently. I remember the day I was baptized, and not too long ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, Don Needham, who baptized me, met me at the Holiday Inn out here and handed me a box of all of his old sermons. And along with that box, he handed me an envelope. And in that envelope was a picture of me being baptized by Don. And also in that envelope was a memorial card from Rusty Rogers, one of my best friends' funeral service. I've looked through the sermons. But the most important thing in that box was that day I was baptized. But when I look back, and I have to be honest with myself, I'm talking to all of you, including our young people, because I do not want you to go down the path I went down. I do not want you to grow up 20 years from now having regrets because you went off this on this tangent in your life and became somebody you should not have become. And how many people did you affect when you're off on that little tangent where you weren't on the road you should have been on? Because it's easy to get off the right road and get on the wrong road. I struggle today, especially right now, with everything that I have going on. Because I look back from that baptism forward, I was really never really close to the Lord. For a little while in Bible college, I think I was really close to the Lord. But I let myself get caught off guard and got off on in other things that I shouldn't have been doing. And I let those times, in my opinion, affect other people. And I wonder today, are some of those people that have been affected still because of something I've done, or have they overcome it? And I feel a sense of guilt in the sense that I don't know the answer to that. So I want to challenge you today to look closely at your life, no matter what your age. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 75 years old. You were born. But have you figured out why? I believe that the people living today are living today for a reason. Oh, could it be 100 more years before Jesus returns? It could. But we live in a day and age when it seems like anything can happen. We can destroy ourselves over and over again with nuclear weapons. If anything like that ever were to start, there would be no ending the chaos and death that would be caused by it. So I want you to look at your life today. Figure out, just like Abraham was called. It says God called him and said, I'm going to go to a land that I will show you. Who in the right mind would pack their bags and just start walking? Pack up the camel, pack up whatever thing we can get on the camel, and let's start going because God's going to show us a land. Never been there before. Don't have a map. Don't have any GPS to get us there. But we're just going to trust that God's going to lead us to this place that he told us about. How many of us could have that kind of faith? But yet the Bible says that he believed God and he counted it to him as righteousness. That's in Genesis 15:6, also reiterated again later on by Paul. And even after God showed him that land and gave him a son, Ishmael, and another son, Isaac, he had to set Abraham straight about the promised son was Isaac. But then he asked Abraham to offer that very son as a sacrifice. After he'd already told him that he was going to bless the whole world through his seed. Take the life of the child that I told you was going to be the blessing. And by Abraham was ready to do so, and God provided a ram. That was his purpose Abraham's purpose for living was to be the father of the faithful, to be a man of faith, that he showed that faith to everybody in his lineage that was born after him. And they still talk about the father Abraham today in Israel. We can look at Scripture and see how Moses was called, how Moses was born into privilege. He was born, but then put into the Pharaoh's family and had a life of privilege. But deep down, he knew that he was one of these children, these Hebrew children. Deep down, he knew his lineage until he finally took the life of an Egyptian who was misusing one of his fellow Hebrew. And he had to run and hide out in the land of Midian because Pharaoh would have taken his life for sure. We can see in Scripture how God used him to come back and lead his people out of Egypt. That was his purpose. There's so many we can look at. We can look at Esther and how she was challenged by Mordecai to go into the king. It's at this time that you've probably been put here, Esther, to be influential, to say something, to speak up. And she did. And one of the evil men that was planning the death of Mordecai ended up being hung on his own gallows that he intended for somebody else. You want to know what all those people have in common? They weren't just walking along going, I wonder what I'm going to do today. I wonder how I can make a difference. They already had a faith in God. They already put their trust in him daily. And God saw their heart. God saw the predicament they were in. And he said, you know what? I can use him. And that's the whole key, is we have to have our focus on God. He should be our full focus every day. We should wake up in the morning praying. We should end the day praying. And trying to find ways to serve him and be involved in the lives of others to make a difference. I want you to be thinking about this now, especially young people, so you don't get 30 years down the road and go, man, I can't believe I had 10 years in there that I was a miserable Christian failure. I started doing this and I started doing that. Next thing I know, I was way off course and I couldn't hardly get back. Yeah, people were praying for me. And then you have those regrets like I feel today. Did I affect anybody negatively? Is there something I've done that caused the downfall of somebody that I don't know about today? That's hurt them in a way that I can't fix? So I've been praying a lot lately. God, without getting specific with the situation that I feel is going on right now, I just feel like, God, I don't know if I helped break this, but only you can fix it. Because I don't know how. But it all starts with having a relationship with God. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yep, David made some mistakes, didn't he? Had a man killed. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. I wonder if he got later on in life that he wasn't kicking himself down the road. Like, boy, I can't take any of that stuff back. We can see in Jeremiah 29:11 where God says to Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. He had a relationship with God, and God used him. We know that Solomon went off on a tangent and had like 300 wives and 700 concubines. But he writes in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall direct thy path. Yep, there may be some times you get off on the wrong path. There may be some times that you look back and kick yourself for some of the things you've done. And ultimately, maybe God directed you back where you needed to be. And maybe you learned the lesson. But the place I struggle with, even though I think I've learned my lesson, is there somebody I've affected that I don't know about and I don't know how to fix it? We can look at people around us. We can look at jobs. We can look back at William Wilberforce, who was instrumental in life to help get rid of slavery in England, along with a man named John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. But yet that man didn't know God in a real way until after a shipwreck of delivering slaves back to England, he was saved through that. And even though he didn't believe in God before then, he certainly did after. He believed that he was saved for a reason. He became a preacher. Helped abolish slavery along with William Wilberforce. A teenage girl named Joan Arc believed that God had called her to lead France. Her courage changed a nation. You may just be a teenager today. You may not even be a teenager yet. You may be thinking, because you got a mom and dad that talk about the Lord in your house, and I hope mom and dad are talking about the Lord in your house, what can God use me to do? What kind of occupation can I have that God can use me to praise Him, to lift Him up, to give Him the glory? One of my most favorite teachers was a man named Jim Younger. I have a picture of me sitting in his living room about 2 or 3 years ago, and I did talk to him a few months back on the phone. He's getting very confused. He says a lot of random things, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's not with us sometime soon. But he was my favorite teacher. And I remember telling my daughter Hannah one time that if you ever have a teacher that makes a difference in your life, you let them know. Now, Jim is not a Christian, so he didn't make a difference in my life that way. I tried to make a difference in his. I don't know if I ever succeeded. I just tried. But he is the kind of teacher that he could sit there in his living room saying, "Hey, do you remember?" And he would say, "Billy Hanel." "Yeah, I remember Billy." "Oh, man, he sat right there in the third row back, right in the middle of the classroom. Third row back." I always sat right there because I was always kind of distracted, and he put me right in front where he could watch me. He called me Mr. Incredible, because I always wrote these incredible creative writing stories that he loved so much. And if I called him right now on the phone, he would answer the phone, "Mr. Incredible." That's how he answers the phone when he sees it's me. Be a teacher. But only be a teacher because you want to affect the people that you teach and somehow be a witness for Jesus, not just to be a teacher. You may not be able to read your Bible in the classroom. There might be some people that stand up against you, but you can still be the Christian influence you need to be for the kids that you choose to teach. Be a Christian business owner. Play that Christian music in your place of business. Fly that Christian flag. Have little banners in your store that tell the people coming in who you are and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Be that person. But you can't get there if God's not already part of your life. That's the most important part of all this, is that you take what you're... Yep, when you're a teenager, you can be rebellious. You can do things anti what mom and dad say are good to do because you just want to be your own person. And hopefully you don't get too far off on a track like I did, because I feel like I got way off track and that I affected people. And I pray that there's not somebody still walking around out there that I've affected that can't be fixed. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." You were not born randomly. You were born intentionally. One of the days that is the most important in your life has already happened. You were born. Now find out why. We're going to close.